Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, scripture says, "Then they that gladly received Peter's word, which was Jesus' word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." That's a pretty good day. I said, that's a pretty good day when you have 3,000 souls baptized in the name of Jesus, filled with his spirit. The scripture says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions," or their properties, their homes and goods, "and parted them to all men as every man had need." Remember, if you were here last Sunday, I preached "Come to Jesus." And in one of those scriptures, Jesus said that there's people that will give an excuse. "I can't come be with you because I just bought a property. I just bought an ox. I just bought a car. I just got this. I just got married." But here in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had come and his spirit had poured out, now all of a sudden people are selling their excuses. They're giving their excuses away. In verse 46 it says, "And they continuing daily with one accord," that means agreement and unity in the temple, "and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor." Everybody say favor. "Having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." I want to preach to you today on the favor of the Lord. The favor of the Lord. How many of you know that just by you being here today, you are favored of the Lord? I don't know your details and your circumstance, but I know that you're here right now in the presence of the Almighty God. And by that alone, you are favored of God. Would you just wave a hand to the Lord and say, "Thank you for your favor." There's going to be an outpouring of his spirit today because you are favored of the Lord. Everybody say, "In Jesus' name." Oh, you may be seated in Jesus' name today. Amen. If you can crank up these speakers a little bit louder, if you got it, thank you. I just kind of calculated it real quick, and I saw it since Wednesday night, I've been in church for over 20 hours. I told you last week I went to a conference in Florida, and man, it was so amazing. And I had to preach a few times, and while I wasn't preaching, others were preaching, I was thinking, well, I got to save my voice, you know, and I saved my voice on the first night, and I clapped, and I ran, and I jumped, and I shouted, but I didn't use my voice. And by the second night, I said, "Oh, forget my voice, man. I can't hold back anymore," and I just let her rip, and I'm thankful for that. You know, I always have interesting, it seems not every single time, but frequently, I have interesting things that happen to me when I'm on my way to church. Whether good or bad, it seems like interesting things happen when I'm on my way to church. Sometimes God speaks to me when I'm on my way to church. I can pray and fast and try to get a word from God, and it's like, man, what's going on? And it doesn't come until I'm on my way to church. In fact, it happened this last Thursday. I was I've been scheduled to preach at this conference for many months now, and I've prayed and I've fasted and I've done everything you could do, you know, and God just wouldn't give me a sermon. They emailed me last week, can you please send us your scriptures and your slides and your notes and this? I said, I don't have any yet. They asked me when I got there, can you tell us what, you know, your scriptures? Do you have any pictures? Do you have a title? Do you have this? I said, I don't have anything yet. And in fact, someone later asked me, they said, man, when did God give you that sermon you preached on Thursday? I said, it was while I was on my way to church. I don't know why. I don't know if it's my fault or God's. I'm not sure, but I'm always thankful when he does speak. And it seems like interesting things happen when I'm on my way to church. This morning, in fact, I was driving here. You know, it's about a 40-minute drive from where I'm staying in Beaverton. And I was on my way to church, and I guess there was somebody who was having a bad morning, and they had a little road rage, and they were just zooming around me, you know, and they gave me one of those fingers on their hands. I can't remember which one it was, but they held it out the window. I don't know if it was the pinky or the ring fingers, one of those fingers in there. They gave it to me, and they were just cursing up a storm at me. I thought, what did I do? I don't even know what I did, you know, and it was real interesting when they actually pulled into the church parking lot, you know, and no, I'm kidding. I'm just making sure y'all are awake this morning. I'm like, who was it? Now, that has happened before, not with the finger, but I have accidentally cut someone off on the way to church, and then you realize 10 minutes, you keep looking in your mirror, they're like, oh, man, they're going where I'm going. Oh, God, I hope they're not going to church today. And then that has happened. We both pulled into the parking lot, and I get out, and I'm like, I'm so sorry I cut you off. And thank God I didn't give them the finger, you know. Interesting things happen on the way to church. Last Sunday, I was driving here, and I was on Farmington Road, which is the road that the Palace of Praise is on, where my wife and I are staying. And I had kind of a sad moment because I had just gotten on the road to come to church, and I noticed a lady who appeared to be homeless, maybe, and she appeared. And I don't know her. I didn't get out of the car and talk to her, and. But from what I could tell, she looked like she had really been in a mess. And maybe she had been addicted, and you could tell. And she was really just frail. She didn't look elderly, but she was frail. She was just skin and bones, and she was just staggering across this main road. And she was speaking, you know, she was talking as if she was with somebody, but nobody was with her. And you could tell she really wasn't in her right mind. And my heart just went out to her. And I thought, God, you've got to do something for these people, these hurting people. You've got to do something for the homeless. You've got to do something for the addicted. You've got to do something, God, that yes, they... As I have, they have made mistakes. Yes, they may have chosen to go down the road of addiction. They chose that, but God, we've all chosen to go down the wrong path at one time or another. God, you've got to pour out your spirit upon them. And literally it wasn't, but maybe 30 seconds after I saw that lady, I see another lady, a blonde-headed young lady. She looked healthy, and she had nicer clothes on, and she was walking down the sidewalk, and from a distance, she just looked like, you know, a pedestrian walking down the sidewalk, and I'm driving about 45 miles an hour, you know, and I'm coming up on her, and she's walking my way, and I'm driving past her way, and as I get closer, I just glance at her, and she is just crying. I mean, she is not just crying, but she is weeping, and she's holding herself like this. She didn't look injured. She looked like she had gone through something, and I don't know what, but my mind began to wonder, why is she crying? I saw her as I'm walking or driving by her, and you could see she was just in agony, and it didn't look like physical pain. You could tell there was something emotional going on. So my mind began to wonder, what is it? Is there a domestic violence situation? Is it she's been abandoned, or she's depressed, or she's been suicidal, or what is it? Or she couldn't pay the bills, and her lights were just turned off. And my mind began to wonder, what is her need? And then the conviction sort of ran over me as I passed these two individuals within a 30-second to 60-second time span, and here I am in my suit and tie on my way to church. Now, I didn't feel bad that I'm on my way to church. I felt favored in a way. I felt, God, I'm thankful that when I've been messed up with drugs, I have been messed up with alcohol. I'm thankful that when I have been in depression and I have been discouraged and I have been confused and I have been lost, that yet there is a place that I can go. And it was maybe selfish for a moment that sort of emotion came over me that, God, I'm thankful for the opportunity and the favor that I have, that I have the chance to go to a place where I can feel the presence of the Almighty God, that I can stand there week after week on a Sunday morning when I don't deserve it and experience the outpouring of your Spirit. And I'm thankful that when my wife and I are struggling and when my son is sick or when my family's going through a trial, that I'm favored. I get to go to the house of the Lord. I'm thankful, Lord, that on a Tuesday or a Thursday or any day of the week when I experience pain of this world and confusion and uncertainty, that I can fall to my knees and I can call on the heavenly host of the glory of God. I'm favored because I know Him. I began to pray as I was driving here last week. I began to pray. I said, God, these people have got to know You somehow in some way. You've got to introduce Yourself to them in the same way You've introduced Yourself to me. Aren't you thankful today that your life isn't all together? You may have a lot of it together. You may not have any of it together. But regardless of how much you do have together, you are in the house of the Lord. And you are blessed. And you are favored. Simply because you are in the presence of the God of glory. Favor means approval. It means support. It means grace. It translates to an over generous, preferential treatment. It also means an act of kindness beyond what is due or usual. An act of kindness beyond what is due or usual. The act of favor that God has bestowed upon you in your life has been an act beyond what is due or usual. It wasn't due you. It didn't belong to you. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. It was just an act of kindness beyond what was due to me. It wasn't owed to me, but yet He favored us. Proverbs 16 and 15 says, in the light of the king's countenance is life. The New Living Translation says it like this: when the king smiles, there is life. The King James again says, in the light of the king's countenance, in the light, think about it, of his face, there is life. And his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. Oh, come on, somebody. It doesn't say his favor is like a cloud of rain. I think Solomon knew exactly what he was saying here. His favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. It's no coincidence that the Lord prophesied that in the last days, I'm going to combine the former rain and the latter rain. For I've given you the former rain moderately, but I'm going to bring a latter rain that's seven times greater than the former rain. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, and it's because I'm favored of the Lord. It's interesting that we even find that Jesus in Luke 2 and 52, he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Even Jesus increased in his favor with God, because yes, he was God, but also he was fully man, which means everything you can attribute to a human being, you had to be able to attribute to him. If there's anything that you can attribute to me that you can't attribute to him, then he could not atone for my sins. He could not die for my sins. He wasn't just divine flesh. He was a man of like passions. He was a man who was tempted on every side. He was a man that hungered, that thirsted. Even the scripture says that. He was a man who was weary and fatigued. He was a man of sorrow. The Bible says he was a man of deep grief and sorrow. He was rejected and despised. And because of that, we know he was just like us. And so this scripture says that you can increase in your favor with God. What an amazing principle and truth to understand. I find this interesting story in the Bible. It's the story of the birth of Samuel. And so to lay the context very quickly, Samuel was very unique in the Old Testament because Samuel is a type of Jesus Christ. And the reason being is because Samuel was one of only two people in the entire Bible who was a judge, a priest, and a prophet. The only other person was Jesus Christ, who fulfilled those duties, those offices. And the birth of Samuel is very interesting because the story tells us that each year, Elkanah, who was the husband of the mother of Samuel, her name was Hannah. The scripture tells us that Elkanah had two wives. Those two wives' names were Hannah and Peninnah. And every year, Elkanah would take his two wives and they would travel to Shiloh to worship God at the tabernacle and at the temple of God. At this point of time, the temple of God was constructed in Shiloh. Shiloh translates to a place of peace and rest. But here's what's interesting to me is that they would travel from Ramah to Shiloh every year to go to a place of rest, to worship God at the temple. And when I studied this, I found that the distance between Ramah and Shiloh is 1,053 miles. And at best, they may have had a donkey, but most likely they traveled by foot. And a little study showed that on average, they could travel up to 20 miles per day. And so if they traveled 20 miles per day, it would have taken them 52 days walking through the wilderness, the deserts, the mountains, the valleys by foot to get to the temple of God. And I started by saying that it seems like interesting things always happen to me when I'm on my way to church. I had a 40-minute drive this morning with no traffic, hallelujah. But they had a 52-day journey by foot. And the interesting thing that happened to Hannah along the way, the scripture says in 1 Samuel 1 and 6, it says that Hannah's adversary, which is the other wife of her husband, Peninnah, her adversary, provoked her sore or severely to make her fret or fear. Now, I want you to understand this context. Peninnah, who is the other wife of Elkanah, she could have children. But Hannah could not. Peninnah's name means jewel. Everybody say jewel. Jewel. She was the glitzy one. She was the glamorous one. She was the one that shined in the light and people were drawn to her. She was the jewel. She could have children. Hannah could not. Hannah's name means favored. Favored. How could she be the favored one? She's not the jewel. She doesn't have all the nice things. Not to mention, she can't have children. And on the way to church, a 52-day journey by foot, the jewel would provoke the favored. The jewel had all the children. She had a bigger church than Hannah. And the bigger congregation would provoke the smaller congregation, if it were, to make her afraid. But here's the interesting thing it says. She provoked her because the Lord had shut up her womb. It does not say she provoked her because she couldn't have children. It says she provoked her because God shut up her womb. Here's the revelation. Hannah wasn't in charge. God was in charge. Watch this now. Your adversary will provoke you over something you're not even in charge of. Why aren't you having bigger revival? Why isn't all your children saved? Why aren't you greater for the kingdom of God? Why aren't you doing this and why aren't you seeing that? Here's my answer. God is in charge. I might be the favored one, and right now it looks like I'm barren. Right now it looks like I'm dry. Right now it looks like I'm hopeless. Right now it may look like I have no purpose in life. Right now I may look like nothing unusual. Right now I may not be able to please my husband with children, but I am still favored. I want to talk to you about the faith of the favored. Do you know what favored people do? They do all they can do. They do the best with what they've got and let God take care of the rest. Hannah said, I didn't shut up my womb. What are you doing provoking me for? I'm not in charge. God shut up my womb. So I'm just going to do the best with what I've got. See, our adversary right now wants to provoke the church of the living God. We are favored. Somebody say, I'm favored. And the adversary wants to provoke us and say, yeah, apostolic people. Yeah, Pentecostal people. What you gonna do now? You can't go to church. And when you do go to church, we're kind of breaking the law just a little bit. And we got to social distance. And we got to do this. And we got to do that. You know what's so interesting? The adversary provoked her to make her afraid. Here's what I want you to understand about the spirit of fear we're facing today. I don't really believe there's many people among us who are afraid of the devil right now. It's like we have this revelation of who we really are, and I'm not afraid of the devil. But here's the interesting thing you need to understand about the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear does not care who or what you're afraid of as long as you're afraid. So the devil says, oh, you're not afraid of me? Okay, I'll just make you afraid of each other. I'll make you afraid of your brother. I'll make you afraid of your sister. I'll allow the spirit of fear to wiggle its way into the church so that we do. And hey, I'm for it. I'm for it. I'm not against it. I'm for it. I'm for obedience, and I'm for submission, and I'm for going by the rules and these. I'm for all of that. But I am for doing what we have to do. Jesus said, whose face is on that coin? Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. You see, there has to be this tightrope of faith that we walk that says, God, I'm going to do what they said to do, but I'm going to also do what you said to do. And you said, don't forsake the assembling of the saints. You said, come into my house with thanksgiving and into my courts with praise. Brother Hansen, you might not be able to do it like you used to do it, but here's the word of God for this hour. Do it the best you can with what you've got.
Asaka da ba yero rabo soto da.
The scripture says in 1 Samuel chapter 6 concerning the mother of Samuel, she hadn't begotten pregnant yet. She was barren now, and scripture says that her adversary was provoking her severely to make her afraid because God was in charge. God had shut up her womb. Scripture says in verse 7, and as he did so year by year, they went every year, 52 days there, 52 days back. They traveled there to Shiloh 52 days, traveled back 52 days. They did it every year. And the scripture says Hannah went up into the house of the Lord, and she still provoked her. Peninnah the jewel provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. She wept and did not eat. I really do believe that everybody at one point throughout the last 7 or 8 months has found that place of fear or uncertainty, where it seems like all I can do is just weep because I don't know what else to do. And we've reached that place where it's like, I can't even eat anymore spiritually. Sometimes even physically, I can't even eat anymore, God. I can't even read the word anymore. I have found that place where there seems to have been a few days at times I've been so dry and I've been so confused and there's been so much uncertainty and fear. It's like, man, I don't even want to pray anymore. I don't even want to read my word anymore. I don't even want to read the Bible anymore. I can't eat anymore. Scripture tells us that after they worshiped at the temple, they went to a party. They went to have a feast and a festival. But Hannah was so provoked in the Holy Ghost that she went back to the temple. She began to pray. And she began to have a pretty similar experience like we have today when we are filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit came over her. She began to tremble and speak strange things. And the prophet or the priest of the temple saw her and thought she was drunk. Sound familiar, doesn't it? She's drunk. He tried to kick her out of the church. She's drunk. She said, I'm not drunk. I'm desperate for a child. I'm desperate for a new birth. I'm desperate for something to be born inside of me that I've never felt before. I'm desperate for something new inside of me. And so the next day, in verse 19, they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to the house of Ramah. You see, before they left, Hannah said, I got to worship one more time before I go home. She worshiped the Lord. You see, she couldn't praise the Lord at this moment because praise is for what he does, but worship is for who he is. And she couldn't praise him for what he had done because he hadn't done anything yet. But she said, I worship you for who you are, regardless of what you've done or haven't done. I'm still favored, so I've got to worship you. So she returned back to her home at Ramah. And the Bible says that Elkanah knew his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time, in the process of time, in the process of time, that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. She said, I'm going to call him Samuel because I asked of him of the Lord. She didn't say, I'm going to call him Samuel because I'm anointed. I'm going to call him Samuel because I've been faithful every day. I'm going to call him Samuel because I've had a strong, consistent prayer life. No, I'm going to call him Samuel just because I asked God, give me a son, give me a child, give me hope, give me new life. Scripture, it says it'll lose in the process of time. In the I don't know, I feel the help of the Holy Ghost in this place right now. I don't know when and I don't know where, but the Lord says, if you just keep on worshiping me in the process of time, in the process of time, at some point your worship is going to align with my time. And at the process of time, I don't know when it's going to happen, but just keep worshiping, just keep praying, just keep happening, just keep asking, and all of
a sudden, the fullness of time is going to open up and God is going to answer your prayer.
When we talk about Jesus, we're reminded of his mama. The Bible says that the angel came to her in Luke 1:28 and said, Mary, thou art highly favored.
She was a teenage virgin girl.
She didn't have any influence in her society. She didn't have a position. She didn't have prominence. She didn't have power. She didn't have influence, authority. She didn't have nothing going for her. The angel of the Lord shows up and says, you're highly favored. God's about to do an act of kindness that's not due to you, but an act of kindness that goes beyond what you deserve because you're favored. He says, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And she saw, watch this now, this is what happens in church. And she saw him, the angel. I'm not saying you see angels, but I'm saying that we get this word from God. We get this notion of the Holy Ghost. And she was troubled at what he was saying. She was troubled. She was afraid. She cast her mind, what manner of salutation? She was saying, what is he talking about? What is he doing here? Why is the, listen to me now, I'm in the Holy Ghost. Why has the word of God come to me? I don't deserve it. Why is the angel of the Lord come to me? And 30 says, the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Woo. You didn't find a calling. You didn't find an anointing. You didn't find the gifts of the Spirit, but you found favor. And behold, thou shalt conceive in your womb. Something's about to be born inside of you. You're about to bring out a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how? Brother Hanson, there is a very unique prophetic anointing of the Lord upon this church right now. Because you have found favor with God. And what the Lord is about to do in you and in us would cause us to stand and say, how? I have a very deep revelatory answer for that question. The angel responds and says, the Holy Ghost. How? The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and the power of the Highest is going to overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. How? The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. How? There's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. How? My Spirit is going to pour out upon all flesh. Stand to your feet, lift up your hands, and let the Holy Ghost just begin to answer your question of how. Just 2 days ago, in Florida. It's 2 days ago in Florida. I had preached that morning, and this lady comes up to me, and she looks very much like a visitor, but very kind looking, meek, humble. And she comes up and she says, "Will you just pray for me that what you're talking about would happen to me?" Laid my hands on her. She was speaking in tongues. I found out it wasn't her first. She had just received the Holy Ghost, in fact, right before that service. And she was just speaking in tongues. And then after the service, someone told me, they said, "That lady you were praying with, she was just Muslim not just a few weeks ago. She's from Iran. She's here in the States, and she's come to the revelation." They said, "We've been doing Bible studies with her, and she's come to the revelation that Jesus is God, but she refuses to speak the name Jesus because in her past religion, they taught that only the elders can say the name of God, and only the elders can speak about God. Women can't speak about him. Young people can't speak about him." And she was so amazed, because this conference I was at was all about the young ministers, you know, young ministers. And so there was 20-year-olds preaching, there was 25-year-olds, and there was old people like me, 32, preaching. And she came up and she said, "I'm just so amazed by all these young people." There was a 23-year-old girl that preached yesterday, and she said, "I'm so amazed by all these young people that are preaching so powerfully about the name of God." And so 2 days ago, she came up to the pastor's wife of the host church. She said, she had once told her weeks ago, she said, "I don't need to be baptized again." She said, "But I'll help others be baptized." She's literally been baptizing people in her neighborhood, at her job. She's been getting people. She is an on fire evangelist, a witness of God. She's literally baptizing all these people in the name of Jesus, but she yet has been baptized herself. She said, "I don't need to be baptized." Until Friday night, the revelation came upon her. The Holy Ghost came upon her. She came running to the altar and told Sister Amy Myers, crying and weeping. She said, "I've got to be baptized now." This is a minister's conference. This wasn't a first-time visitor conference. This wasn't a crusade, Holy Ghost crusade, but we didn't care. We marched her right up to the baptistry. I wish I had. I posted the video on my Instagram. We baptized that former Muslim lady in the name of Jesus Christ. I watched as she came up out of the water speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. This lady, just weeks ago, she completely resisted anything about Jesus. And then she took a step closer, and when she finally received the revelation, she wouldn't even speak the name of Jesus. She resisted the idea of baptism, but something came over her. How? It was the Holy Ghost that came over her, helping her to understand, "I've got to be baptized." How is this going to happen? The favor of the Lord that rests upon us is going to open up a door for the Holy Ghost to overshadow us. That's why in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one mind, in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. It was the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that set upon each of them. They were all filled with His Spirit, the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. And at the end of the chapter, it says, they had received favor, favor, favor. They were a bunch of failures, but they had received favor. I want His favor today so that His Spirit will rest upon me. Would you lift up your hands and close your eyes and just seek Him for just a moment? Oh, would you lift up your voice right now? Lord, I want to be favored. Lord, I want the favor of the Holy Ghost to rest upon my wife and my son and my family so that I can receive the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the overshadowing of the power of Your Spirit. Lord, birth something inside of me that's never before. God, I've got to have it. I want something new. I want something different. I want something to be born on the inside of me. Oh, yeah. Who would like to step out by faith and come to this altar and seek the favor of the Lord today? Would you come right now? If there's anybody in here who's never received the gift of His Spirit, I want to ask you to come to this altar right now. If you've never received this Spirit, the Spirit of the Almighty God, the Holy Ghost, would you come and seek the outpouring of His Spirit today? The gift is upon us. He's overshadowing us with His Spirit. There's an outpouring of His Spirit. Somebody that's favored, you're favored. Reach out to the Lord with your hands. You're favored. You're favored. You're favored because you're here. You don't belong here, but you're favored. You don't deserve to be here, but you're favored. So lift up your hands and let the Holy Ghost overshadow you right now. Let the Holy Ghost.